once you dive into it and you kind of show like, hey, if we have your customers place the order automatically on the site, one, it saves them an incredible amount of time. Let's say they're looking into their order history and they can just drop in their order and then reorder pretty frequently or pretty easily. That's alleviating a lot of time on their end. And then on the rep's end, they can still manage the relationship. We don't want to replace that in the e-commerce side.
This is The Commerce Experience. As a show, we aim to equip e-commerce professionals with the tools and insights necessary to thrive in the ever-evolving space that is commerce. I'm your host, Elena Kachan, Community Marketing Manager at Bloomreach. Today, I'm joined by Mark Frenette, the B2B Digital Commerce Manager at Hershey. I don't think I have to tell you that this is one of the most iconic candy companies on the planet. And not only that, but Mark, as a guest, I'm very excited to have on the podcast. He's got a really impressive career in technology and manufacturing thus far. And not only has he worked as a digital commerce manager, but he's also served on many marketing teams across many functions. So he went from BDR to demand gen to marketing ops. So his experience across roles and industries get me really excited to get into this and get his perspective on our topic today. In today's episode, we're going to discuss a topic that we've discussed many times at Bloomreach, B2B digital transformation. Some of our clients, like MKM Building Supplies comes to mind, have seen incredible results with digital transformation using really specific e-commerce technology that works for them. I'm excited to get Mark's thoughts from the point of view of a chocolate manufacturing company. And with that being said, welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
It is so great to have you here. I want to kick it off with a big question on everybody's minds. When it comes to making strategic changes in the way that a company operates, like investing in technology, for example, why do you think it's always been harder for B2B to get on board?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. There's definitely some challenges. I feel personally like the B2B space can oftentimes lag years behind the B2C space. I think there's some, you know, obvious touch points where if you're, you know, going down the road and you're stopping at a local store, you know, your experience is going to be very different than, say, when you log in on Monday morning to your job and you're trying to place an order for something. If you're going to Starbucks, you can go on an app, order ahead of time, go in the drive-thru, pick it up, or even have it delivered. Whereas in the B2C space, it's that Monday morning you log into a system and there's minimal expectations there. And I think that's where sometimes that lag in technology can come from, is from some of those expectations.
I want B2B to be on the same page. And it's kind of like, okay, catch up already. But I'm curious, what would you say are maybe some surprising lessons that you've learned along the way throughout your career, whether at Hershey or prior to them?
Yeah, so some of the lessons are, and this might sound cliche, but it's definitely like a journey that requires a lot of consistency and patience. There's no simple success story. You hear this often, you see someone in an interview or a podcast or wherever, and you see the success that they had, but you don't see all the work and the time that went in to building that success. So definitely keep that in mind with even your own expectations jumping into this. Also, a learning that I had, even for myself, even more recently, was don't take no for an answer, even from yourself. Oftentimes, you are limited by your own mindset. You have your own experience. You shared that I had some experience in the past with, you know, marketing operations. And so from an operations perspective, status quo is good. If things aren't on fire, it's a good day. But how do you grow past that? How do you excel? How do you take the status quo and move it to where it needs to be instead of having a B2B environment that lags, you know, potentially years behind the B2C space?
Do you find yourself like having to think creatively and think outside the box, especially when it may be more traditional? Like, this is how we've always done it, so this is how we're going to do it moving forward. Are you having to get a little creative with this?
Yeah, sometimes you sit back and you think. Definitely times when it's like quiet, you have time to think, you're looking for opportunities. But even as, if you just have a mindset to look for these opportunities, you know, you might have a goal and you're working towards that goal. And along that journey, you're finding additional open doors that you can explore. Like, hey, I could never think of this opportunity 6 months ago because we were at this point as a company or as a team, whatever the case is. We've moved along the way and now we're identifying more open doors to explore. And don't be afraid to explore and go see what is the opportunity behind those areas.
I love that you said to push back on the limiting beliefs you might have for yourself, because I don't know if you know, but Bloomreach is all about making, you know, our customers limitless. We agree. It's like, and I struggle with this too as a professional. It's like, oh, I can't do that. Like, I have never done it before, or I haven't done it yet. So it maybe is not possible. I love your advice about keeping an open mind and understanding that there could be another door right around the corner that like you could actually tap into. I did want to bring up when we last chatted, something that you mentioned caught my attention. You said reducing friction a couple of times, and you mentioned creating seamless experiences for your customers. Leading the digital commerce helmet company the size of Hershey, what kind of resistance are you encountering, and what has really been your North Star for helping your team reduce such friction in your organization?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable for anyone to be resistant to change. And whether you're a small company, whether you're Hershey or anywhere you are, you're working with people. And oftentimes people were a lot more similar than we are different. And we're all oftentimes afraid of change. And what does that look like? And even going back to my point earlier, not being afraid to change even your own perspective on a matter. So it's identifying, you know, there's going to be change that is happening, and how do you move past that barrier for yourself and knowing like, okay, we have status quo, it's operational, it's functional. How do we move past that? But then getting the different teams to also recognize the need for that change. So you can go through and say, okay, here's where we're at today. If we do X, Y, and Z, here's where we could be. And this is what could help drive growth, or, you know, alleviate, you know, manual work that is being done by internal reps or internal, you know, sales teams or what have you. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but a lot of times it's just recognizing the different pain points and identifying like, hey, here's how we can move. Here's how we can solve for these areas. But sometimes it's surfacing that change to people and the need for it. And then obviously setting realistic expectations. Oftentimes you come to the table with this pie in the sky idea of like, oh, this is what we need to do. If we do X, Y, and Z, boom, it's going to, you know, you're going to find success. And it's easy to sit back in some presentations and think like, that's great, but how do we get there? Clear expectations. And oftentimes it's baby steps. This is what we're going to do today. This is what we're going to do over the next month or 3 months or whatever the case is. Because oftentimes, even for our customers, when they log into our website, it's like, okay, now what? What do I do from here? And just showing them, click here, here, and here. And this, there's all these opportunities for you to, you know, find new products or place orders or whatever the case is. A lot of times someone just needs to be shown that first time. And then that can help overcome some of the resistance.
Do you feel like, and this is maybe just my personal question, is do you feel like you're on like your own campaign internally where you're like, guys, come on, like this is what we could be doing. And it's almost like you're the driver of innovation. You're the driver of change. And I can imagine like you're being met with just, this is the way we've always done it. And that's what we're going to continue to do. Is that something that you have to push past every single day or every once in a while? What's that like for you?
One thing that I found to be very helpful is that you identify other teams and their needs, and then you try to address their needs in what you're trying to accomplish. So if we're trying to work towards a digital transformation and you have teams that are like, okay, this might be your pet project. How does this affect my team? But you're showing like, hey, we can help automate half of your team's workload if we go down this path. And then they start to see, yes, that makes a whole lot of sense. We need to move in that direction. Even though in my mind, I might be thinking of like a financial target at the end of the day, there's other areas where impacts and showing, hey, here's your area of need. Again, we're all people. We all have our own challenges. We all walk into work every day and we think, okay, what am I trying to do to solve my immediate challenges? And if you, in your journey to make whatever the change is, if you can kind of tie that back to what work they are responsible for and how you can help them in their own journeys as you're making this change, I found that that helps pave the path for a lot of our success. And it also helps build momentum. Many teams that were very resistant initially to some of the work we're trying to do, not that it's bad work, it's just status quo was operational, it was working, but they start to see that. They start to see, oh yeah, if we could automate this, if we could do this over here, it alleviates their own pain points. And then before you know it, everyone seems to be on the same page. We're moving in the same direction. And you have far more momentum going about it that way than you did just, here's what I want to do. We're going to push ahead. And every day you're trying to convince people.
it can be such a painstaking process to like implement such a large change at, you know, even the smallest change at a big organization like that. So I love that you said start with baby steps. And like, once you get that mind shift in for them, they can start thinking differently too, moving forward on how they can improve their processes and how they might need you in the future. And I love that you have this like team mentality where it's like all ships rise together. It's like, I have a goal, you have a goal. How can we use technology that's readily available to help us all win? And it's like you're all on the same team. So it is hard because when you're working in silos, it can get a little isolating and you're like, well, I've got my KPI. And they're thinking, I've got my KPI. But you're like, let's work together. I love that. Are you potentially like, you know, and you've been in B2C before, but has B2B always historically been behind when it comes to digital transformation? We kind of talked a little bit about it, but like how behind? Can you paint a little bit of a picture?
Yeah, again, this gets back to the fact that we're all people. We all have our own experiences. So on Monday morning, someone might go to their, you know, place of work, log into a system that looks like it was produced 20 years prior, but it functions, and to update it is going to take an incredible amount of work from the organization. But then they go home that night and they're trying to order Christmas presents for their family and they're on Amazon, and it is a seamless experience, you know, very easy to find, personalized recommendations, ordered, you know, and dropped right at your door within, you know, potentially days. And then again, you're back in the office and you're like, why am I dealing with this level of technology here when I'm getting this experience here? In a way, knowing this can be done, that Amazon, so to speak, like experience, it exists today. So how do we motivate or change processes internally? So in terms of seeing a lot of that lag, it's definitely there. Again, I think a lot of it comes back to expectations and needs. If it serves a purpose, we're there. But now we're finding that, hey, people are having an elevated level of expectations due to the B2C experience. So how do we relay that into our B2B environment to help them navigate, to help them find things faster, help them have better products, or, you know, more relevant products being recommended, better search results, rather, you know, you've been to a website where you try to search for something and you're like, this is not even close to what I was looking for. Knowing that they have that experience to pivot off of, and they can say like, when I was at home yesterday, even on my phone right now, I can have this experience with all these other companies. What are you doing to help make my life easier?
Speaking of automating and better experiences, I wanted to talk about automating mundane tasks. So obviously in our day-to-day, in our workflows, you've talked a lot about trying to automate it so that way we can free ourselves up to do the real work, maybe the strategy or the creativity. But on that note, what do you see as like the biggest pitfalls that hold up real progress in implementing like an e-commerce AI technology for better results?
Yeah. So in terms of automating mundane tasks, I think implementing e-commerce in general definitely supports that in removing a lot of the mundane. Obviously, on the B2B side, you're going to have a lot of manual order placement where customers are calling in or they're emailing in or whatever the case is. Many of these customers have been doing this for years and is what they're familiar with, what they're comfortable with. And the reps helping them, you know, support this because they also, this gives them some insight into the relationship they have with their different accounts. So shifting customers to a digital format, moving them to an e-commerce platform is unfamiliar and oftentimes uncomfortable for both internal and external stakeholders. But once you dive into it and you kind of show like, hey, if we have your customers place the order, you know, automatically on the site, one, it saves them an incredible amount of time because they can, you know, say they're looking into their order history and they can just drop in their order and then, you know, reorder pretty frequently or pretty easily. That's alleviating a lot of time on their end. And then on the rep's end, they can still manage the relationship. We don't want to replace that in the e-commerce side. We still want reps connecting and solving problems for their customers, but that actual manual like placing of the order can happen on our site. But then also by you know, going to the site, you're going to get, you know, personalized product recommendations, and, you know, it's going to be a much better experience. You can search for things that you may not have known. If you're just strictly emailing in a list every month or whatever the case is, you're not going to know what else is out there. You're not going to know of a new product promotion necessarily, or, hey, you have to get your order in by this date to have it shipped out by, you know, whatever the season is, so to speak. So there's benefits both internally and externally, but then you're also going to see the resistance. But again, we're not here to replace the relationship. We're here to enhance the overall experience. And in doing so, it automates so much of the mundane. And once customers start to place their orders online, and once reps start to see their customers placing orders online, and it's not replacing that relationship, but they're seeing the hours saved, again, it gets back to that. It builds a lot of momentum where they want to continue ordering online. Reps are encouraging their other customers to start ordering online because they see the benefits there.
The one thing I wanted to bring up was that a lot of B2B experts on our side have kind of theorized that B2B commerce has kind of moved past competing on price and selection and is now competing on experience. So, kind of to your point, would you agree with that argument? And why do you think experience is so important above the other factors? Is it that one-to-one or is it the automation? What do you think it is?
I think it's a multitude of factors, but starting with the fact that customers today have the experience on the B2C side that they may not have on that B2B side. So going through this, you know, they're going to see it is about that experience. We talked briefly about path of least resistance. When a customer logs in, typically from what we found, what they want right in front of them. If it's 3-4 clicks away, they may not even be aware that it exists. So how are we creating that path of least resistance and creating that experience that is frictionless for them so that, you know, when they're placing an order with us, it's one thing on their to-do list. You want that to be as efficient as possible. You want them to be able to log in, have good search results, have good product recommendations that are relevant to them, not just like, you know, a spammy experience where you're seeing ads or whatever across the screen. You know, you want that experience to be pleasant for them because, again, you oftentimes are one thing on their to-do list for the day, and you want that to be very efficient. And we've had customers come back to us and just say, hey, what you're doing, like, that's great. We wish others were doing the same and focusing on that experience piece because it's alleviating a lot of our work. And these are customers who ordered, you know, several years another way, and it took some time to get them to change and shift to digital. And now that they've done so, they appreciate the effort we put in behind the scenes to make this happen.
I love that. And the fact that they're giving you that good feedback kind of makes it all feel worth it, especially from a leadership perspective. Or maybe even connecting to the other teams that are involved and hearing that validation, I'm sure is great.
Yes, it's definitely helpful. I love getting feedback that's like right in the middle. I don't want people to just give all the praise or all the negative. You know, they had a bad day and nothing they say is going to be positive, or everything they say is all positive. You kind of, what I focus on in terms of feedback is like hearing that is very helpful and saying like, okay, what we're doing works, but then also looking for opportunities in the feedback. What else can we be optimizing? Where else could we be helping you in your journey? So sometimes I have to dig past the positive feedback and really ask, okay, where else can we optimize and help you?
My next question was, and following up on that, you've also mentioned to me that tech should be an enabler and not a driver of strategy. Can you expand a little bit more on that? What did you mean?
Yes. Yeah, so having a more technical background in terms of MarTech and CRM platforms and what have you, you should have your strategy. What is the goal? What are we trying to accomplish here today or this year, whatever the case is? And then that technology should support. I think it's easy to get lost in this, you know, shiny new object syndrome where we have MarTech tools, you know, coming online seemingly every day. And it's a matter of that's great, but, you know, where does that fit in the journey that I'm already on and not making the tool the journey itself, identifying here's the goal that I'm trying to accomplish, and then identifying some of the top tools that can support in that journey. But you don't want the technology to ever be driving the strategy. You want that goalpost, and that technology will support you oftentimes all the way, but that's how you should frame your thinking.
As a technology company ourselves, we want to be an extension of your team and we want to be a solution. So we do have to have that goal to work towards together. And I think if companies on your side, you know, people like you who are in this position of B2B digital transformation have that mindset, I think it could be a good relationship no matter what technology you actually decide to go with. So hopefully it helps reach your goals in that larger sense. So when it comes to implementing the type of technological changes that we've talked about today, what do you think is the secret ingredient? Is there a certain type of mindset that just makes a difference for teams to actually commit and win?
I shy away a little bit from secret ingredients, or, you know, oftentimes it's referred to as like silver bullets or what have you. But oftentimes it's that, you know, cohesive team experience. If everyone's on the same page across multiple departments, then you're going to have that effect where whether a customer is contacting a CS rep in customer service, whether they're talking with their sales rep, whether they're, you know, communicating with us directly or they're on the website itself, if we have a cohesive story, that's going to give the customer, you know, the best perspective. And it's going to be that end-to-end user journey that we focus on. We're going to be able to support them no matter where they are in that journey. So I think that definitely helps with the teams and building that cohesion and finding that success is making sure we're all on that same path. I mentioned several times this goal. We're all trying to achieve the same goal. Might be for different reasons. One department might be trying to push towards this because it helps them in one area, whereas it helps us in another area. But if we're aligned and we're all supporting our customers consistently, then no matter if you're a customer and you find yourself anywhere along that customer journey timeline, you're going to feel supported. And, you know, that's going to enable you even further in with your own role.
Mark, I've really loved our discussion today, and you've had some really amazing insights, so thank you. Is there anything you want to leave the group with or anywhere that people can find you to connect about B2B transformation? Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Sure. You can probably just find me on LinkedIn, Mark Furnett. And then don't be afraid to push beyond the limits that you even might have in your own, you know, in your own mind. But then additionally, look for ways to help others along your journey. And that will go a long way in helping them and in helping you and helping your organization find success.
If you're listening and you're in the B2B space or you're in the midst of transformation at your organization, I really hope his tips resonated with you. I know they did with me. Mark, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Commerce Experience Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. And we so appreciate you listening. If you have any topics you would like us to cover, be sure to email us at podcast@bloomreach.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. Until next time, bye.